This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the Men's Room.
Forget it, man, and get with the countdown. Shake this square world and blast off for Kicksville. The trippers, the grasshoppers, the hip ones, all gathered in secrecy and flying eyes attired.
You're listening to The Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
We say hola and good evening to our friends of Portland's Classic Rock, 92.3 KGON. Also, Bayou 95.7 in New Orleans. Listeners jumping on down there. And our good friends at Rock 105, Chattanooga's Rock Station in beautiful Chattanooga, Tennessee. Big show for you today as Ryan Castle is in. And we will sit and spin, unfortunately for you, 10 unnecessary Christmas albums. We'll celebrate the holidays a little bit early as the albums have started to roll out already. Some timeless classics in there as well. Just basically albums that never should have been made in the first place.
Can we just agree that maybe we mandate federally that, look, before you put up Christmas decorations, before you release Christmas albums, before we have to deal with that onslaught that is the Christmas holiday, can we at least wait until November 1st? Like, let the kids have Halloween, right? Let them just eat candy, not worry about crap. Then November, because we get Thanksgiving, it's about gluttony and football. I understand that. Can we just wait until November 1st before we get inundated with the stuff?
Rob Halford from Judas Priest, he's the inspiration. He's already got a new holiday album out. It's all
thanks,
originals,
Rob.
You know, and it's we've talked to Rob, had him in studios, just kind of
very nice man.
Seems ironic that a guy with two devil horns tattooed on the side of his head would be doing a Christmas album, but I guess he softened up out the, you know, after the
Barbara Streisand did a Christmas album. She's Jewish. I mean, apparently
Neil Diamond.
Barry Manilow. So if you want to do a Christmas album, it doesn't matter. You don't have to celebrate the freaking holiday.
But at least he's doing all originals. So we'll give it a listen coming up. We've got 10 unnecessary Christmas albums.
Holidays you can cross over.
I don't know. But no. I don't, like Thanksgiving, you go, sure, right? But you go Christmas, I mean, the idea is that, I don't know, this guy named Christ was born. So it just seems like if I'm Jewish, well, have fun. I already got my holiday. But no one has a problem taking your money because when it comes to Christmas music, people part with their money stupidly.
I've played with a dreidel and I enjoy brisket.
Yeah, most people.
That's what I'm saying. It's
you're
going to
put out a Jewish album? No, you would not. Would you even dare do it?
If I could sing, yes.
Really?
Ted Smith gives you your
Hanukkah classics. Dreidel made of clay.
Right. I made you.
I would make originals.
You would do originals.
Yo, dreidel, dreidel. The cat's in the dreidel and the silver spoon.
Yeah.
The cat's in the dreidel.
I'm doing the best I
That's
can.
That's not original.
And the dreidel will rise.
The dreidel!
10 dreidel songs from Ted Smith.
Dreidel to the grave.
Rot the dreidel of love.
All original. Yeah, all original.
What exploded or blew up? 844-999-OLA.
I'm a Toshin.
And the dreidel will rock?
Yeah, the dreidel will rock.
Yeah. David the children's first, I think. Yeah, he's Jewish.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Right. They made him change the name. That's a lie, but run with it. Let's see, a couple comments coming. It says, my uncle made a homemade pipe bomb when he was a kid.
Oh.
Unfortunately, it blew up on him and it wrecked his hand. The doctors grafted his hand to his stomach. When he got older, he grew hair on it. He's the only one to have hairs on his palm.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then as far as what is a Black Angus specifically, it is a breed of cow.
Oh, okay. All right.
Dirty deeds!
Well, it's more expensive. What exploded or blew up? 844-999-OLA.
I was thinking it was more like...
Hello, Scott. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitch. Hola.
Hola.
How you guys doing today?
Doing well, sir.
All right. So here's my story. So my first deployment, it's going to be a lighter deployment story. So there's that. So I'm up in the guard tower and we're kind of out in the middle of nowhere. We're on like a 30-man cop. It's kind of like one of those old mud castles that you'd see. Four towers, you know, two walls.
Okay.
So I'm up in one of the towers, and all of a sudden, you know, I just hear this boom. And I kind of freak out. I'm like, what's going on? Are we getting mortared? Like, so I hop up. I start running around. And the guard tower is only about maybe 10 feet by 10 feet wide. So, you know, I'm kind of like a mouse just like scurrying in its cage, looking to see where this thing's coming from, right? Well, earlier in the month that we had had this berm pit dug out, and we started filling it up with all our trash. And with the MREs that we get these big boxes. So it's a ton of cardboard. Well, they just started dumping all of these things in there. And then they had lit it earlier in the day. Well, what had happened is these big cans of green beans that were in the MREs were exploding and shooting up into the air. So after the first one goes off, I kind of start to get my bearing and figure out where these are coming from. And I look over and I see one skyrocket up about 30 feet and then just hit the top of our hum, big old clang. And I kind of start rolling because it's like, you know, my heart's racing. I don't know what's going on. Like, I think we're about to die. Like,
no, you're about to get healthy with green beans.
Just green beans.
Did anyone get injured from the exploding green beans?
Were there green beans all over your Humvee?
Oh, yeah, man. So nobody got injured, fortunately. The burn pit was on the north side of our base. So, you know, it's pretty far away. But, no, where we were parked, the Humvees was close enough that these green beans had shot up. And, yeah, man, they're just flying all over the place. This probably went on about 20, 30 minutes because there had to be at least a dozen.
The good news is there cooked green beans? That can doesn't explode until all those beans in that gallon container are deliciously warm enough to blow out.
Hey, look, I hate green beans, so to me, this story was brings a tear to my eye of joy.
I would love to throw green beans in a fire.
I appreciate that because out of all of the things, when we go through these packs of MREs, you know, it's for like 30 guys. So there's like a big tray that you heat up. There's like, you know, packs of cakes and like all this other kind of stuff. But no, we're chucking the green beans. Those go to the burn pit.
So basically, I was going to ask you, was this food bad? And it wasn't. It was just the fact that no one wanted to eat green beans.
Look, these green beans, you don't want the. All right. Food at an MRE is already not great, right? And when they give you these big, like, you know, 30 man rations, like, the cakes aren't bad. It's cake. It's pound cake. I mean, it's got all this stuff that's going to preserve and taste delicious. These green beans, I don't, you know, from the store, they're not that great in a can.
Right. Okay, but look, where are you? Where are you stationed at this point? Where are you?
I'm in Afghanistan. South.
I still say we should get
Really close to Pakistan.
We should really still get the Jolly Green Giant. You know what I mean? Like our U.S. military. I mean, like if you're going to get canned, like you would not send over just like B-grade tuna.
No, listen. You know what I mean? If you're in the military, I won't even send you green beans. I don't hate you.
You should not have living in the desert. You might want some veggies.
You think that, huh?
Yeah.
Why? Why? What difference does it make? I could be in the jungle, I could be in the desert, I could be at home.
Just
I can promise
it's so
you.
Dry.
Yeah.
Send the Jews.
The one thing that everybody wants in the desert is an American cigarette.
Okay.
People will do anything you ask because the cigarettes that we get over there come from India. They taste like crap. They're basically, I mean, like, it's just the worst of the worst. But they're $10 a carton, so you're going to smoke them as long as you've got them.
Right.
What is the choice brand of cigarette? Is it a Marlboro Red? Is it American Spirit? What is the most valued cigarette?
So the most that I had seen people do for American Newport, that is the one.
Because they don't have menthol?
American Newport. Eat a goat turd for it.
A goat turd for Newport.
Wow.
I need a cigarette. All right, these are Americans. You know, these aren't like from the European store, so it's like eat this little nugget of goat.
But who are you trading this with there? Like a Jawa or a Tuscan Raider? I mean, like
who rolls up with the Indian cigarettes?
What can you trade in the middle of what looks like the first Star Wars movie?
Well, I'd say a lot of times cigarettes and American cash goes a long way.
Well, sure. Yeah. I mean, cash always spends well. Ate a goat turd, even if it's just a little nugget, for one Newport?
For one Newport.
Okay, let me put this in perspective. Camel cigarettes used to advertise something. I'd walk a mile for a Camel. You got nothing on goat turd either.
If you smoke a Camel, you won't walk a mile. They're hard. I had one the other day. Someone left a pack on my desk. Let me tell you what. I was like, man, oh, man, these are strong cigarettes. You forget. Okay. What was it? If you go on. Oh, is he gone?
Yeah.
Okay. What exploded or blew up? 844-999-OLA.
Oh, let's talk to Zach. Hello, Zach. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
All right, so I'm a marine technician. About 10 years ago, I put
put a new engine in a powerboat. And the engine's midship, so it's basically under the floor of this person's living room in their boat. Well, we just had the whole engine taken apart. We finally get to the point where we're ready to turn the key, see if we can get it fired up. It cranks about 15, 20 minutes. We turn this engine over. It just will not start. So we dig back into it, and we realize that there's no spark. There's no ignition. So we go through the wiring harness, and I find a couple of loose connections. We plug them back in. I'm sitting about 3 feet from the engine, the muffler, and I've got an assistant up at the helm. I tell my assistant, okay, let's try it again. As soon as he touches the key, the muffler exploded, blows out the windows in the boat. There's fiberglass shards to my left, my right, jeez, between my legs. I'm unscathed. But the 15 and 20 minutes we tried to get the engine started, it was just filling this muffler with gas fumes, and we created a bomb.
And did your assistant get blown off the boat or anything like that?
No, he was up at a different deck level. So he was up at the key station, and I was sitting on the lip of the engine room with my legs dangling in. And my ears rang for about 3 months after that.
I was going to say, how quickly did that boat sink if it's underneath the living room? I mean, that had to blow out a hole in the bottom of the boat, right?
It didn't. Most of the explosion was taken out through the windows. The back door was open. A muffler on a boat, if you can imagine, it's half filled with water. It's about the size of a 5 gallon bucket. So the muffler is what exploded. There was no actual fire. It was all contained within the muffler. But it was pretty sketchy. We basically packed up shop for the day and went to happy hour.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
Nice.
And you have to repair this guy's entire boat, I'm guessing.
Yeah. If I remember right, I was working for a different company at the time. And I think we came up with some excuse as to why this thing just blew up out of nowhere and passed
the charge on to the customer.
Right.
I think so. It's been a while.
Oh, man. Sorry, buddy.
Yeah.
Good thing you weren't on it, man. We kind of took the blunt of it.
It cost a little extra here.
Freaky.
Right.
We're talking to the guy who's in Afghanistan. So we start talking about the food and the cigarettes. Someone chimes in to say, in Afghanistan, we got steaks delivered grade F. It says grade F beef suitable for military and prisoners only. Hey, Congress, stop acting like you love the military if you're giving them the same crap you give prisoners. That's one. I would say that openly. And he says Pine Light cigarettes, $5 a carton. So you know they're good.
Pine Light.
I've never heard of that.
Gotta go to Pine Light country.
That sounds terrible.
Prisoners and military. That's a damn shame.
What exploded? And children in elementary schools.
No,
what exploded
get worse.
Or blew up? 844-999-OLA. More your calls coming up. You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We return to the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
A sharp-eyed Burger King employee may have saved a customer from getting flame broiled.
They did not say that.
When a truck carrying a 100-pound propane tank pulled into the drive-thru of the Burger King in Beebe, Arkansas, one of the employees noticed it was leaking gas. She notified the driver. He got out of his vehicle to check on the tank's release valve, and that's when the truck exploded. A nearby dash cam captured the video, including the moment when the tank exploded, creating a massive fireball. Fortunately, the area had already been cleared by local authorities. The driver of the truck, Ron Daniel, survived the incident, but was sent to a nearby hospital with first-degree burns all over his body. He was released later that night. He stated that he just picked up the propane tank and was stopping by the restaurant to grab a few Whoppers. He also said that his truck was a total loss and he felt bad for causing damage to the Burger King restaurant. Our question, what exploded or blew up? 844-999-OLA.
Hello. Who do you want to go to? Let's see. Hello, Mike. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hey,
so you guys know what a Vitamix is, right?
Yeah, but it's a glorified blender, right?
Yeah, so I got one, the one that's at Jamba Juice. It's the Mac Daddy. It's got the plunger thing so you can smash all your fruit down into it. And this thing will turn like gravel into cement. That's how powerful it is. So my wife, this just happened 2 days ago, mind you. My wife says, hey, why don't you make some chocolate molds for dessert tonight? I said, all right. So, you know, put the ice cream in, do all that. Well, I was packing it down with the plunger, and it wasn't packing down. So I took the lid off, and I left the plunger in there, and I went to go get some malt and pour it in there. And as I poured the malt, my hand hit the button, and it was on full max power, and the plunger went down into the blade, and I'm telling you, it exploded chocolate malt. There wasn't a spot in the entire kitchen that didn't have chocolate malt.
It was your $500 blender completely destroyed?
Oh my god! So the pitcher itself shattered into I'm surprised I didn't have shards of plastic sticking out of me. It shattered into a gajillion million pieces, and there was it was just a total. It was horrible.
What about your kitchen? Are you still finding chocolate malt all over your kitchen?
Oh, well, okay. So, of course, my Vitamix is next to my fridge. So it hits the fridge, right, and just runs down the side. So you got to pull the fridge completely out of the space it's in, and there's nothing but liquid chocolate malt all in behind the fridge. I'm sure when we move, we'll find chocolate malt spots in places we didn't even know it was.
You know, I got to ask you, because my grandfather used to love a chocolate malt.
Mm-hmm. My father, too.
So you have milkshakes, and then you have malts.
Right.
Right.
Correct.
What is malt? I know what is it?
So it's actually a powder, like, you know, malted milk balls?
Yeah.
So it's actually the malt that's on the inside. It's actually a powder that's almost like a chalky, and when it gets wet, it turns into little clumps, and it's almost, I don't even know how to describe it, but it makes little fine little clumps within your shake that are malt flavored. I guess I don't know the best way to describe it.
Yeah, I'm with you. I like milkshakes, but I never liked the malt.
I don't mind the malt, only because growing up with my father, if he said, hey, we're going to go get milkshakes, what he meant was, we're going to get malts, and since I'm paying, I don't really give a rat's ass what you think. So we always end up getting malts. Eventually, I learned to like them. You know, because when he first said a malt, I'm like,
I don't even know that I've had one.
You probably did. Based on our age, you probably did up until you're about 10 years old. Because you could go to places that offered, if they had milkshakes, they would also offer malt.
But I would never order a malt. I'd always get a milkshake.
You would. But again, right. See, because my dad's paying, you got what he ordered for you, right?
Okay.
And it's like, all right, man, I'll give it a try. They're fine.
You probably just never ordered. I'm with you. I never liked them, even as a kid. Like, I don't like Whoppers. I don't like malt balls either.
I don't like Whoppers.
We would go to a Five and Dime, they called it, which basically had anything you ever needed downtown. Yeah, and they had a little counter. They had a malt shop. And my grandfather, we'd walk by every day. Whenever we'd walk by together, he'd be like, let's go get a malt. And I get a little sundae or something, and he'd get his malt milkshake.
Yeah, I used to do the same thing, the one in Old Laurel Mall.
You know, this is what's amazing to me. So places like Nordstrom, and while I do appreciate this, they're like, look, we have a bar, we have a restaurant, we have all this stuff, basically, for the guys that don't feel like shopping. We have TVs. Woolworths, I mean, you can buy a vacuum cleaner for $15 there, right? They already did it. This is not a fancy idea. Like, my parents would take me to Woolworths, and just to get me out of their hair, they're like, here's $5, go sit at that counter, don't move. And I'd eat a meal, you know, get a Coca-Cola, whatever the hell it is. I had a TV.
I mean, it wasn't.
Yeah, you're right. When I was a kid, I loved going there. Because that was the thing. You could just, like, my mom could go do whatever, and I could just sit there and drink
and order what
milkshake.
I want. Right.
Yep. And they had breakfast in some of them. The,
yes!
The GC McCrory's. They had a counter. Yeah, counter you could go into. Like, for $3, I could get, when I was 18 years old, two eggs, toast, and bacon or sausage. And that was it, and a cup of coffee.
If you opened a diner at a Goodwill, that's basically what Woolworths was, right?
Right.
And you got out of it. I wish they would do that now. Like, kids, go sit the hell down over there. Leave me the hell alone. I'm going to do what I do.
What exploded or blew up? 844-999-OLA.
It's basically a milkshake just with malted milk powder.
Yeah, that's it. Hello, Greg. Welcome to the men's room.
Oh, hello.
Hola.
So this happened like an hour and a half ago. I'm a delivery driver for Amazon. And I pulled into a cul-de-sac, and I didn't see it because it was a black basketball sitting over a storm drain. And so I just kept driving, and all of a sudden I heard just like shotgun blast. I get out and I go, there's the basketball. This just happened. It's crazy.
You ran over a basketball and blew it up?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Now, was there like a kid looking through the window in tears or anything or what?
I hope so.
Was it blown into shreds or what did it look like? Could you wear it as a hat? You know what I mean?
It was kind of bald, so I didn't feel too bad. But I think about going to the store on my lunch and buying him a new basketball.
What are you
going to
do? Put it back on the storm drain? I mean, look, the kid left it. This is the lesson we try to teach our kids. Guess what? You know why you can't find your Legos? Because the dog ate three of them. I told you to get them off the floor. It's not my problem. There's a reason why we say these things. Put your stuff back in the garage, back in the yard, whatever it is you need to do. Someone rolls over your basketball. That's why we say, do not buy that child another basketball.
It'd just be a nice little surprise.
It doesn't matter. Hey, they left it there. That's why you say that.
That seems weird. You don't see a lot of black basketballs.
It really
does. Yeah, it was a Wilson, I think.
Oh, yeah, with gold trim.
I mean, hell, if you went and picked up a $10 basketball and dropped it back off, it's not going to hurt anybody.
Yeah.
Do not get that kid a basketball.
I promise you his parents
did not say, hey, before you come in, make sure you put your basketball in the storm drain on the side of the street where cars go. No,
I
parents
probably rolled down into the storm drain based on the way that the cul-de-sac
then put it away.
Mm-hmm.
It's not my problem.
Should I buy him a new one and deflate it?
Yes. That's what you do. You know what? You buy him a new one, put it on the storm drain, then when he's looking, drive over it again.
If you knock on that door and that kid answers and you say, hey, I'm sorry, I ran over your basketball, here's a brand new one, you're going to be a hero.
Yeah.
Did you see a house that had a hoop?
The hoop is, like, laying down, so they haven't been playing basketball in a while, so.
Oh, he did a crazy dunk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know that all the neighbors hate that basketball hoop.
You know they do.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That pop.
Whenever they brought that thing in and put it up, they went, oh, God, it's a basketball hoop in our cul-de-sac.
Hey, man, I got my kid a basketball hoop last year for his birthday, and we got neighbors on the other side of us. I know they hate it. Just all day. Like, it doesn't bother me because I'm playing, but if I had to listen to that, I'd lose my mind.
What exploded or blew up? 844-999-OLA.
Yeah, but man, when you go to somebody's house, I remember that had a hoop. It was awesome.
It was the best.
Yeah.
It was the best thing ever. Didn't improve my game, but I was always excited. Hello, Steve. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey, guys. What's up?
Hola.
So this happened, like, I don't know, like 10 years ago. I was working at T-Tech and driving up and down the service roads. I was watching a plane being pulled up by one of those tugs that they hook up to push the plane out of the gates and stuff.
Yeah.
And it was going up to one of the mechanic, like the hangar areas, and that tug caught on fire and almost caught the whole plane on fire.
Well, what do they do? So the tug's on fire, but it's connected to the plane. What is the first order? Is it to put out the fire or disconnect the plane from the tug?
There was a mad dash to get the plane disconnected.
And, that's what I thought.
Also call the fire department.
I would assume there's a fire department on site, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And thank God that thing's a convertible, so the guy could just jump out.
Yes. Yeah.
That would.
Think of it like a big generator or whatever, but it's like just caught on fire. So.
Well, it's a little tiny thing that's pulling a major aircraft with sometimes a full load of people in it. So, I mean, obviously the thing's pretty powerful.
But do they use the tugs when people are on the plane?
Oh, yeah, that's how you pull out of the gate. That's how they push you out of the gate. I would like to have some of those orange flashlight cones so I could direct traffic in my neighborhood.
You think people will pay attention?
I think if you have those flashlight things that look like you're at an airport, I think people would pay attention.
You got to throw on a vest.
I'll put on a hat. I got a clipboard. I got those things, man. I could just stand out in the middle of the street and start redirecting traffic.
The thing is, everyone would defer to you because all you need is that vest. Like,
but the cones, too, with the flashlights. I mean, that looks official, man.
But you have to have the vest with them. Otherwise, maybe stolen from a raid.
Because I would never get out in the middle of the street without my work protective gear. You know what I mean?
Yes, those orange vests protect them from all harm.
Exactly, so they can see me.
Don't you still have the yellow rain gear?
As far as?
Like for your ride around on a scooter?
No,
I thought
mine's
you had
black.
Yellow.
Yeah, mine's black.
That yellow gear would work.
That would work, too. Yeah.
What exploded or blew up? 844-999-OLA.
I want to get some of the gloves the cops use.
Have the stop sign on it kind of thing?
Yeah, and they have like the neon orange.
Yeah, I was just thinking.
Stop, sucker.
Because that's what cops say. Hey, sucker. Stop your car.
No cop says that ever.
Oh, they got him. You get him at Amazon? Get the frick out of here.
Well, you could, but the Amazon driver's too busy getting a basketball replaced.
Get that basketball and send me those flashlights, buddy.
Hello, Mike. Welcome to the men's room.
Turn the radio down.
We'll get back to him.
Let's let me about yell at him.
Yeah, come on.
Turn it down, man.
Everyone knows we're on a delay, except for no one.
Miles has orange cones or orange things in his hand.
Stop,
turn it down.
Stop, sucker. Hello, Mike.
Oh, my God, the delay ain't cut up. Mike, you got to turn your radio off.
See, Mike, you did all
turn your radio off.
I'm not going back to him. Look, you want to get a kid a basketball, he's irresponsible. I don't do that.
Okay.
You guys just yelled at Mike like, hey, man, the delay hit. Mike's not. I bet you it's Mike's freaking basketball.
You think so?
Mike's not listening to anybody.
I hope they trash
and
your basketball.
And this is what happens. I'm sorry, man.
Let's try him again.
You want to try him again?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, probably caught up now.
I'll try him one more time. Oh, there's silence.
Hola.
Hola. Oh,
Jesus, Mike. God, Mike.
Hola.
God. Killing us. So, Mike, what exploded or blew up there?
I blew up somebody's car.
All right.
On purpose or by accident?
On purpose.
On purpose. That is not what I thought. Now I'm nervous. What is the circumstance?
It was 1972, and I was a sophomore in high school, and my parents split up. My mom had no money and five kids. We moved to a dirt street in the middle of the barrio. And I went to a school that was mostly Mexican. Had to get off the bus and got my butt kicked in the park about every once a week and had to run home. And so I just took this abuse for a year. And this kid that was one of the leaders had a car that his brother painted. And he always was bragging it was a $5,000 paint job. It was in Paula. So I ran a wire from the coil back to his gas tank and stuck a spark plug in there and waited for him to start his car in the morning. And I had no idea. How much of an explosion a tank of gas would be.
It's a tank of gas.
Well, did he never show up for school again, and did they have a funeral, or did you see him
actually,
again?
No, he had one of them little chain-link steering wheels, and so it pushed the back seat up against the front seat, pushed him forward. If he'd have had a regular steering wheel, there would have been a funeral, and then I would have felt bad, but I didn't feel bad.
Did he ever find out it was you, Mike?
Absolutely not. His brothers were serious gang members, and he and his friends were wannabes, and the retribution would not have been pleasant.
Okay. All right.
You know what? I dig that.
The retribution.
But it didn't stop me from blowing up that car.
Impound.
Yeah. One thing cool is I was looking over the fence watching it happen. My mom heard the boom and came out and saw me. She said, I don't want to know, and turned around and went back inside.
That's a good answer. Mm-hmm. That's a good answer.
I'm surprised you had the, and no disrespect to you, Mike, but as a sophomore in high school or whatever you are, I'm surprised you had the knowledge to be able to do that. Because normally, okay, like, look, let's just theoretically say I want to do that.
I'd have strapped dynamite. We got dynamite on the car.
I'd have to Google that, right? And they're like, oh, look, the neighbor in the Google search history, right. How to blow up a 72 Impala.
Follow with the $5,000 paint job.
How did you know how to do that?
My dad worked on cars, so he taught me a lot about working on cars. So I knew that the coil had a whole lot of juice, and I knew that gas tanks are, it's the vapors that blow up and burn, not the gas. So that's why I put the spark plug just barely inside the tank and just after the cap. So get to the vapors and not, you know, if I'd have stuck it all the way in the gas, it wouldn't have done nothing.
Did you feel like you successfully completed your mission at that point in time? I mean, did you feel somewhat proud about yourself?
Oh, yeah.
And how
the biggest thing was watching him sitting on the lawn crying and beating his fist on the grass, watching his car burn.
Isn't that what you were looking for? Isn't that the moment?
Yep. You bet your butt.
Oh, I get it.
You bet your butt.
Yeah.
I'll bet you one butt.
I took the whole year getting beat up and having to run home. And I didn't. Once I got in my yard, I was okay because I had a bat in the gate to my yard. And so I could hit him then. But, once I did that a couple times, they wouldn't chase me in the yard no more.
What do you think ever happened to these guys?
They probably became gang wannabes and drug addicts and ended up in prison and. Or for killing somebody or doing something stupid.
Or they're priests, DAs, sheriffs, you know.
So you're not Facebook friends, I guess.
They could be. Absolutely not. I don't even remember their names anymore.
Okay. All right.
Just out of curiosity, did this stop the harassment?
No, because they didn't know who did it. And we moved about a month and a half later. And I never told that story for 30 years.
You know what I like, though, is even this happened in 1972. And the glee in your voice is as pristine now as it probably, I mean, the joy that you have telling this story is exactly the same.
Is your dad not around anymore?
No, he passed away a couple years ago.
Did you even tell him before he passed on, like, look, man, I know things are rough. I just want you to know the knowledge you gave me, I blew up at neighbor's car.
I didn't put it that way, but I told him.
Okay, all right. I would have. I'd have to. Thanks, Dad.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a valuable story.
I dare you, man.
Yeah, exactly. What exploded or blew up? 844-999-0.
This is why you shouldn't be I'm telling you, when people return the favor, it is significantly worse, right? So I went to school with the kid, not an explosion, but this kid didn't bother anyone, and then you always have the guy in school that bothers everyone, right? So we're in the cafeteria, and for whatever reason, bully guy, for lack of a better, he was a chucklehead. I wouldn't even call him a bully, but chucklehead keeps picking on the dude who's non-confrontational, just because this kid wasn't going to do anything. And he kind of slapped, and he's humiliating this kid in front of everyone in the cafeteria. And you know, in those cafeterias, you had those, yeah, the orange or yellow plastic chairs kind of had the three slits in the back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
So you see this kid getting angry, but he's not going to say anything to the dude picking on him. And finally, you see his hands, like, grip the edge of the table, and you see the veins in his forearms, and it's like, okay, he's hit DEFCON 5, right? The humiliation's reached a level. Dude gets, and he was a tiny little guy, but he picked up this chair from the cafeteria and smashed it over this dude's head, and the guy ended up wearing the chair. He broke it. This was thick-ass plastic. He smashed this over the guy's head. This guy dropped to the ground like the sack of garbage he was. Little dude, like, basically you had to pile on top to calm him down. Because now he's lost it.
Yeah.
And not one person felt bad for the dude's picking up. I'm like, man, if you're going to do that, be tough. Because I'm telling you, the ass whipping's coming back to you.
What's up? What exploded or blew up? 844-999-OLA. You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Hola, bitches. You're listening to The Men's Room.
Our question, what exploded or blew up? 844-999-OLA.
Hello, Jim. Welcome to The Men's Room.
Hello.
Hola.
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 How you guys doing?
Hola. Jim, what exploded or blew up? Hola.
Yeah. Okay. Well, when I was 23 in about 1993, I worked at an auto electric place, and I was in charge of charging the batteries, the car batteries.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went in the morning to test the batteries, and when I loaded up the batteries, the battery exploded and caused the two batteries next to it to explode and just totally coated me in battery acid, plastic, lead. I was just a mess.
How bad were the burns from the battery acid?
Not all that bad, actually, because I lived pretty close and I just ran home and took a shower.
Is that all you needed to do? Yeah. Okay. I would assume you needed to have some kind of crazy solution on you, whatever, to neutralize
Dawn.
The acid. Dawn Joy.
We're back to Dawn and Joy, yeah.
Blue Dawn. So did you continue to work? Any workman's compensation, anything like that? Or was it just like, all right, well, they blew up, you're fine, keep working?
Oh, yeah. I just had to go home, take a shower, change my clothes, came right back to work.
Okay.
How long did it take the other two car batteries to explode after the first one?
Oh, it was immediate. Yeah.
Okay.
It was just like, boom, boom, boom.
All right. What do you do like now that. For a living?
I work for a big box store.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that seems safer.
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking. Like, okay. You made the right choice.
What exploded or blew up? 844-999-OLA.
Hello, George. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
We were camping out on the Hum Tulips River at Donkey Creek. And
don't make that the opening line of a romance novel.
Hey, I would love to write a book, Miles. I would love to.
That's
write
how
a
you
book
start. That's how you start.
Not just this. Okay, well, what happened was, you know, you're out camping and you're doing things, and you get about a half or a quarter can of beer and you forget where it's at. So you go get another one. And pretty soon you find the one you left and it's all warm. Well, I got the idea one day I'm going to set it on the fire and see what happens.
What did you think was going to happen?
Pardon?
What did you think would happen? Like, what were you hoping to see when you put this on the fire?
I just thought the can would melt.
Okay.
I just thought it would melt because there's a lot of hot coals in there. Well, what happened was the beer got hot, and it foamed up like a volcano. So later on, we're cooking, and I thought, you know, if that looks like that when it's open, I wonder what it looks like when it's not. So I took a full can, unopened beer, and sat it on the fire. Of course, every adult in the place took off and yelled at me and called me every name in the book. Anyway, the tab, blew straight up, and I swear it went up at least 15 feet in the air. It looked just really super cool. And, of course, everybody's happy now because it worked. Well, later that night, my nephew, he says, "Hey, Uncle George, let's do that can thing again." So I had my daughter go get a can. We put it on the fire. It's dark. It's like, I don't know, 9 o'clock. And we put it on the fire. It was there longer than I thought it should have been. And I got my head down there and started listening. And I heard this really faint hissing sound. And I thought, well, heck, it needs a little help. So I took a marshmallow stick. And I went to, you know, just get a little poke. And the can fell down in the coals. So I had my daughter get me another marshmallow stick, and we're trying to dig it out. And that sucker blew up, and there was about 5 logs in the fire. They all blew out. I burned up 2 lawn chairs. My wife is in one of my flannel shirts. The coals went down and got stuck in her bra, burned her boob. And my daughter, I washed her face off. I took ice water out of the ice. At the cooler and wiped her face down because it was all black with the soot. I get up and I feel like crap, you know. And so I'm sitting there drinking a beer. It's like 6 in the morning. I'm looking around and this place looked like, I mean, it was black everywhere. It was like coals just everywhere. And my brother came out of his trailer drinking a cup of coffee, laughing at me. And he went and took a drink of coffee and looked up, and he had just put a brand new awning on his trailer. And he looked up, and all these coals were embedded in his awning. Man, I really got in trouble for that one.
Yeah, how much was that awning?
I don't know. He didn't tell me I had to pay for it.
Okay.
But I'm the oldest out of 13 kids.
So you're the oldest?
Yep.
How many of the 13 kids made it if you were the tip of the spear?
Well, see, all the other family says my mom got it right after me.
Okay.
All right.
Interesting. My mom got it right after me.
You were just practice. Mom got it right after you.
Yeah.
So, okay.
I like your stick-to-itiveness, mm-hmm. though. Grab another marshmallow thing.
13 kids. Could you imagine giving birth 13 times, or even if you had a couple sets of twins, 10 times, whatever the deal is, 9
No,
times?
No. It's just, I don't know. I mean, 3 to me would be the absolute maximum. If you had 2 and then had a set of twins, I'd take out an ad on Craigslist, like free to good home.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.